إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد brothers and sisters, we are on the topic of the truthfulness as the quality of Risala, as the quality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there was a man by the name of Abdullah bin Abi Sarh, who was the foster brother of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. Now this man used to be, he was a Muslim, he became Muslim. He also used to record wahi, and then he apostated, he became Murtad. He left Islam, went to Makkah, and there he wrote false things. He wrote stuff which was not wahi, but he said it is wahi, and so on. So he tried to cause a lot of damage to Islam. So he was one of the seven people about whom Rasulullah ﷺ had passed ruling that they should be killed. He said, after Fatah Makkah, he said that there were seven of them, and he said they should be killed even if they are found hanging from the ghilaf, the kiswa of the Kaaba. So Abdullah bin Abi Sarha was one of them. So what he did was, he went to Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, who was his foster brother, and he said, save me. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu took him, he covered him up, and he took him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to him, you go and you accept Islam, and you apologize. And if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepts your Islam, then automatically your sins are forgiven. So Abdullah bin Abi Sarah was taken to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he came in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka Rasulullah, I accept Islam. Rasulullah ﷺ kept silent. He did not say anything. So Abdullah bin Abi Sarah said it a second time, and he said it a third time. And after he said it a third time, then Rasulullah ﷺ accepted his Islam. So after that, the man left. When he left, Rasulullah ﷺ asked the Sahaba, he said, could not one of you understand what was in my heart, what I intended? Because here was a man who was condemned. You know what harm he did, and you know that the sentence that was already passed. Why could one of you not have dealt with him when I was silent? So they said, Ya Rasulullah, we were not sure what to do. If you had only signaled to us with your eyes even, then we would have killed him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is not the way of the Anbiya to signal with their eyes. Now see the commitment to truthfulness to that extent. And also the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This also shows that, because he need not have signaled with his eyes. He could have simply said, kill him, finished. You know, the sentence was already passed. So he could have said that. He didn't say that. He did not say that. He did not even signal with his eyes. On a side note, Abdullah bin Abi Sarah then remained a very good Muslim. In the time of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he was given the command of the armies. He was one of the people who was the governor of Egypt, and he conquered Libya. So he did a lot of good for Islam, alhamdulillah. And then, bismillahi ta'ala, he died in Salatul Fajr, in sujood. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that, that position as well. So anyway, that's a different issue. But point I'm making here is the issue of commitment to the truth, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrated in every single action, in through his speech, through his actions, and even through his gestures, which is the non-verbal communication. Always total commitment to truth. Now, the point of all of these reminders is to see what can we do about this in our lives. So, what can we do about truth? I don't think I need to say all this, but if you look at ourselves, and we look at our lives, and if you look at the world around us, it's not characterized by truth. It's characterized by lies upon lies upon lies. The problem with lying is that it starts small and then it grows. And if you tell one lie, now first of all, we have to ask this question and say, why do we lie? We lie because we know we are wrong. If you know you are right, then where is the question of lying? You would not lie. You lie because you know you are wrong. So first and foremost, The very fact that you know you are wrong itself is a warning sign. Alhamdulillah, your heart is good, your conscience is good. It is warning you. What must you do? Instead of telling lies, repent. Make tawbah. So, if you did something wrong, instead of telling a lie, just say, sorry, I am very sorry, I did this. This happened. Khalas. Matter is over. It's a small matter at that point in time. It is over. That's the end of the story. Your heart is lightened. The other person is happy. But instead of that, we ignore that warning and we tell a lie to cover up that thing which we know is wrong. As I said, if you did not know it is wrong, why are you lying? So, we know it is. We cover up. Now, one cover up is not enough. So, what happens now? You tell a lie to cover up, then to cover up the cover up, you have another cover up, and then you tell somebody else and you say, no, you know, if somebody asks you, say this, and that person now is trying to support you, maybe your friend or some relative, he's trying to support you, but he has got his own memory, so he remembers half the story which you told him. So, when he tries to cover you up now, he has a different story. So, the other person says, no, you are saying this, but this one is saying something else. Your story and this one's story don't corroborate. Their stories are not the same. So, now you have to tell a third lie to cover up that. And then this makes this huge edifice of lies, which then when it eventually collapses, it will kill you. Because there is just too much of that, too many of that. As I say, if you don't tell lies, you don't need a good memory. That's an old saying. You see, if you don't tell lies, or if you speak the truth, you don't need a good memory because you don't have to remember anything. What happened, you said. No need to tell lies. It frees you and it frees your conscience and it frees yourself from a huge amount of stress. Number one. Number two, as in the case of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the title which was given to him by his enemies was As-Sadiq Wal-Amin. So, telling the truth also makes you and builds your reputation. So, people will say, for example, they might say, you know, this person, he may not always say things in a nice way, but he always speaks the truth. So, we know exactly where we are with him. We may not like what he says, but he speaks the truth. Alhamdulillah, that's good. Truthfulness is the absolute number one reputation builder that you can find. I have quoted this many times. When I first went to South Africa, at one point I met some lawyers and judges and so on. And one of the things they mentioned to me was that in the apartheid days, when they had a white government, which was Christian, the very religious Christian people, I mean, they used to practice apartheid and discrimination, but religious-wise, they were religious people. At that time, officially in South African courts, a Muslim who was called to give witness was not required to swear on the Bible or the Quran or anything that he was speaking the truth and only the truth and nothing but the truth. It is a normal swear that you have to take this oath, the oath of truthfulness in any court. The Muslims of South Africa were not required to take this oath in South African courts during the apartheid days. And they said, why? Because they said Muslims do not lie. This was the impression about Muslims generally, that Muslims do not tell lies, so we don't need to put the man under oath or the woman under oath that they will not lie because Muslims don't lie. Simple as that. Very sadly, that is no longer the case. Even in South Africa, Muslims have to take the oath. So, it builds reputation. We used to have, even in India, people used to say that in terms of lying and amanadari, of trustworthiness, Muslims had a reputation. Now, I'm not simply sitting here to lament about what we lost, but to say how can we regain it. And all of this is not to think of this in a global scale and say, how can the Muslims regain, you talk about yourself. How can I regain it? So, what is the thing to do? First and foremost, look at your own life and say, have I been telling lies? If I have been telling lies, then the first and foremost thing to do is go and apologize to whoever you lied about and say, look, this is what I've been telling you. I'm sorry, this was wrong. Please forgive me. This is the truth. Now, can we work with this truth? What can we do with this truth? So, that is the first thing to do. If we have not been lying, alhamdulillah, inshallah, if that is the case, alhamdulillah, make sure that remains the case always. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from telling lies. Because this is the whole issue. Final point I want to make is this is also the essence of La ilaha illallah. What is La ilaha illallah? La ilaha illallah is the truth. La ilaha illallah is bearing witness to the truth. And what is the truth? That there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So who is a person who denies, who is a person, the meaning of the word kafir. What is kafir? Kafir is someone who hides. We use the same term for the farmer also. When the farmer puts the seed in the ground and he covers it up, he is hiding the seed in the ground. So the word kafir is not a swear word, it's not a curse word. It just means somebody who is hiding. So what is he hiding? He's hiding the truth. What is the truth? La ilaha illallah. So this kafir is hiding the truth by saying that there is no God, for example, na'udhu billah. Or he is hiding the truth by saying that there is someone who is the partner of God. Someone who is the son of Allah, son of God, or some assistant of God, na'udhu billah. This is what he is doing. He is hiding the truth. So therefore, if the person is committing kufr or committing shirk. So La ilaha illallah is the truth, and La ilaha illallah is the essence of truth. And that is why when a person enters Islam, what is he doing? He is bearing witness to the truth. And that is how when you enter Islam, La ilaha illallah, your sins are forgiven because you have made tawbah. What is the tawbah? I have made tawbah that I will not tell lies. What is the lie I was telling? The lie I was telling is that I was saying that someone other than Allah is worthy of worship. I will stop telling this lie. I will speak the truth, and the truth is La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. So therefore, this is also speaking truth is also the absolute core and essence of Islam. And that is the reason why a Muslim cannot lie. Not because we are not trying to just say that Muslims are people with good manners and so on, which they should be obviously. But that's not. The key is that Islam means truth. So how can somebody who is on the truth tell lies about something else? We are saying La ilaha illallah about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I tell a lie about my brother, or I tell a lie about this business, or I tell a lie about something else, and I'm trying to sell some. No. La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. If we are on the truth, we are on the truth. If we are not on the truth, then there is no question of, where is the question of iman and ikhlas. So the whole issue of iman and ikhlas is to be on the truth, not only in one point, but in our entire life. We are on the truth in terms of our aqidah. We are on the truth in terms of our ibadat. We are on the truth in terms of our mu'amilat and mu'asharat and akhlaq. All of these places we need to be on the truth. Make sure that all our dealings are truthful, that we deliver on what we promise, that we don't tell lies there, we don't over-promise, under-deliver, we don't try to sell things by, dressing them up when we know the reality is something else. We don't do any of that. So, alhamdulillah, this is what is the meaning of being truthful. And as I said, the chief beneficiary of that is who? Yourself. You are the number one beneficiary of telling the truth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always keep us on the truth and to save us from all kinds of falsehood, whether it is in deen or whether it is in dunya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and to enable us to do that which pleases Him and to save us from that which does not please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatullahi.